David, if you want to come up and bring us this morning's message, we look forward to it. And we enjoyed having you join our congregation here. What's it been? A few months ago, right?
And, sure.
So, can I pray with you quick before you start? Lord, we thank you for David, and we thank you for his willingness to bring us this morning's message. We look forward to what you have put on his heart to share with us, and we thank you for the work that you've done in David's life and through him. In your name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, David.
Good morning. When you look at... I think I'm going to actually move even further than Zach and move up here. That okay? Can you all see me and hear me? Okay. When you look at Scripture, you got a Bible, right? And you start in the Old Testament all the way to the New Testament. And then right in the back is a couple tiny little books that we don't really read very often. And one of those books is 1 Peter and 2 Peter. How many times have you guys read 1 Peter and 2 Peter? 1, 2, 3. Oh, okay. You got some real scholars here in this church. I know that. So I'm gonna look at 1 Peter. And Peter was Jesus's, if you wanted a best friend on earth, it was probably Peter, right? So a person who knew a lot about growing in your faith. The church had some problems after Jesus left. It met for a few years and had a blessing in the temple. And each day they would meet and they would pray and they would encourage each other and they would grow in their faith. And then they got persecuted. So people dispersed and they went to Turkey and they went to Greece and they went to Africa. They dispersed all over. Peter is still in Jerusalem and the temple was torn down. So they're in the midst of all these rocks. And Peter's going to write them a letter and tell them how they can grow in their faith, even where they are at now. You ever wondered how you can grow in your faith? What does it mean to be a Christian? The early Christians struggled every day with being a Christian in their world. And we struggle every day with being a Christian in our world. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2, starting at verse 1, and we're going to read right to 10. Therefore, rid yourself of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave the pure spiritual milk so that you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted and to see the Lord is good, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, chosen by God, and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into spiritual houses to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in the scripture it says, see, I lay in a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, this stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone and a stone that causes people to stumble and the rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into a wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you did not receive mercy, but now you have received mercy. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this morning, for this passage. We pray that you would use these words to encourage each one of us to grow in our faith, to worship you, and to walk in the wonderful light that you provide. I pray that every word that comes from my mouth may be a blessing to the people here, and that you would hold me and keep me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Babies. Rocks and royal priest. Babies. Trish and I were parents to two we made and two we adopted. You've met the adopted one, adopted one, I think, and maybe one made one, I think. Jordan now has got a job in Long Island working for a research company there, so we miss him. He's the redhead. And Francis just got back from Africa. He's anxious. He'll probably come and share with you about his trip when he comes back. And they have sisters, too, but you've never seen them because they're sisters. I don't know why. But we had babies. And Trish and I have been, throughout our marriage, tag team parents. We both worked. She would go off and work, and I would go off and work, and then we'd take care of the babies when we came back, right? So she would go off and work, and I'd take care of the babies, and then she'd come home, and I'd go off and work, right? When Jordan was born, I worked at Baker Hall, so I worked these 12-hour shifts, real long, and then she, as soon as I got home, she'd split real fast and take off and go do her thing. So every once in a while, she would be delayed in coming back. And when our babies were little, you ever had a hungry baby? Yes. What do? First, they turn red, beet red. And then, they're only little, this big. Then, they start to flail their arms and their legs, start to move, right? And then they wail. And it's a wail that can peel wallpaper off the wall. It's a survival cry. She needs milk. It's not pleasant, it's not cute, it's not cuddly. It's a baby craving her mother's milk. Peter says that we need to crave the word of God like babies crave their mother's milk. Crave it with your arms flailing and your legs moving. Crave it so that you're crying, so every spiritual leader you know comes running to your aid. I love young Christians. Don't you love young Christians? They think nothing of going to 3 and 4 Bible studies a week. I think, oh my goodness, one's enough, right? But they think nothing of it because they crave the spiritual milk. Babies need to drink milk every 3 hours. Do Christians need to drink it any less? Paul and Peter encourages us to crave the word of God like a baby craves milk, so that you may grow up in your salvation. Growing up means taking responsibility. At some point, we all need to grow up. Some of us, like me, resist growing up every step of the way. But I do it anyway because I have to, have no choice. Some people keep going in that resisting. Other people are purposeful about growing up and do it responsibly. I love those people. They're not me. Some of us grow up in the faith because we have to. We're put into situations where we're challenged and we have to pray. I was listening to the radio this week, and there was an article, a woman who had a relationship with a man from Iran, and he talked to her about going back to Iran to visit his family. And they went, she didn't really want to go, and she had a baby, and her and the baby, she finally relented and went back to Iran. And she said that when she went, she was a nominal Christian. You know, she prayed, she went to church, and when she got to Iran, she stayed a couple of weeks, and then her husband informed her that she wasn't going back to America. Then she started to pray. And she tried to run away, and she suffered the consequences for that. And she finally made some friends. She got a plan, and it took 6 months of really living in a very difficult situation where all the people around her saw it was difficult but didn't help. And she escaped. She was a person put into a very difficult situation, and she grew in our faith. My prayer for us, each one of us, is we're not put in that kind of situation, and that we grow. Perhaps you're called to grow in your faith through studying the scripture, spending more time with God, more time in prayer. Perhaps you can pick a good guide and start to learn from somebody who knows scripture better than you do. Perhaps you need to join an adult class. Perhaps you need to do something to help you crave the spiritual milk as God has called us to crave it. Rocks. Rocks are everywhere. My wife has a friend who loves to sail and camp. So he went sailing and camping on Georgian Bay. Anybody ever been in Georgian Bay? No? It's way up in Canada. So he would sleep on his boat, sail to a spot, take lots of pictures, then next day sail another spot, take lots of pictures, and he was very excited to come back and to share all his adventures. So he set up in Trish's parents' family room a projector and slides and started to show the slides. And Georgian Bay has got two things, rocks and trees. And he had pictures of beautiful rocks and beautiful trees. It was so repetitive that we all started chanting rocks and trees. Rocks and trees. It's true, isn't it? It's true. Huh? It was quite interesting. I had a professor in seminary who wanted to show. He went and took a trip to Turkey, where these people probably were. And he showed all kinds of pictures of slideshow presentation as well, of places they used to be. And what would they look like now? Piles of rocks. There were rocks here and rocks there and rocks everywhere. It was about 45 minutes of just looking at pictures of rocks. So this teacher went on and on about what used to be here, but really it was just rocks. And Peter tells us that we need to be rocks, like Jesus is a rock. Jesus said to the Pharisees when he was coming down to Jerusalem, when the Pharisees tried to stop him, if the people don't praise me, then the rocks will get up and they will praise me. You can't say we have Abraham as our father. I tell you that these stones God can raise up to be the children of God. Have you ever met a living rock? What's a living rock? What does it look like? Let's think about it for a minute. They're probably strong, right? Probably solid, and probably heavy. We use stones to build houses and castles. We use them for protection and shelter. We use them to worship God. The early patriarchs, when they would travel places, would have an event with God, and what they would do is, when they met God, and they would make a pile of rocks, right? One event was when Jacob kind of borrowed, no, he stole his brother's birthright. You know, you familiar with that story? Yeah. He stole it. Then he got scared. He ran due north. He ended up at a place called Bethel. Remember the story of Bethel? And he got tired. He found a comfortable rock, if there's such a thing. And he laid his head on it and slept. And as he was sleeping, he had a dream. Remember what he dreamed about? Anybody? No. Stairway to heaven. And on the top of the stairway was God. And God promised Jacob, no matter where you go, Jacob, I know you're scared. No matter where you go, I'm going to be with you. And I'm going to bring you back to the land you're leaving. And each step of the way, I'm going to protect you, and those you bless will be blessed. So Jacob woke up the next morning, piled up a bunch of rocks, took that pillow rock he had, put it on top, and he anointed it with oil. Several times in Genesis, God reminds Jacob of that of Bethel. And when he was struggling, in Genesis chapter 31, God says, "I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar, where God made me a vow, where you made me a vow. Now, leave this land that you're in and go back to your native country." And then in Genesis 35, he says, "Then come, let us go up to Bethel, where I will build an altar to God, that who answers me in the day of distress and who has been with me forever." Peter challenges us to be living stones, just like Jesus was a living stone. The only thing I can think of that's like a living stone is lava. Anybody ever seen lava? I have not seen any lava. But I've seen some nature programs with lava. And as you're watching lava, what's the lava do? It comes down and it goes up first and then it comes down and it just wipes everything out. Right? And then in its wake, it nurtures and grows and things pop back up and it builds land and makes something beautiful out of it. So we have the Hawaiian Islands are basically lava rocks, right, that have become very nurturing places to be. I've never been to Hawaii. Oh, yes, I have. When I was 6 years old, I was in Hawaii. How is Jesus like lava? How is Jesus an example of a living stone? Jesus reshapes people in relating to God. He turns the religious world upside down. Jesus brought so much change that in Antioch, in this one of the places that Paul was writing to, or Peter was writing to, he had to come up with a different name for these people and called them Christians. Is Peter challenging you to become a change agent? What do you think he would like you to be and to build? How does he want you to be a living stone? I was thinking about living stones as well. And, you know, the temple was destroyed. And what would it be like if there's a new temple? And the new temple is you and me. And each one of us is a stone. And we're growing in our faith. And as we grow in our faith, we shelter people, protect people, and help people. You're called to be a royal priest. In the temple, there were priests. Priest's job was to be a mediator between God and people. People would come with their burdens and their offerings, and the priests would take them and pray to God, and God would forgive them. That's the job of a priest. The priest is a go-between between God and people. God's calling us to be a royal priest. Priests are dedicated to what they do. They're bridge builders between God and people. And they're called in this present age to be a living sacrifice, to work our work and offerings to God. Just as Jesus is an offering to God for his sins, for our sins, our work as Christians is to be priests offering saving message to people who need it. One example of a priest, maybe not, but maybe, just bear with me for a minute, maybe was Stephen. Stephen, if you remember, was a deacon in the early church and worshipped every day at the temple. And as he worshipped every day, he took care of the widows and orphans and made sure they had enough food. Some people objected to Stephen, and they put him into the courtyard, and they accused him of things, and he looked up into heaven. And what did he see? Anybody remember? When he looked up, Jacob looked up and saw the stair to God. He looked up and he saw God. And he tells a story of, tells people what he saw. And as he's telling people that he saw God, God's saying, "Hey, I'm with you, man," right? The people stoned him. Standing next to Peter, standing next to Stephen was Paul. He was called Saul then, and he approved of it. And Saul had a little event when he was persecuting Christians. He's going to Damascus, and he looked up, right? And what did he see in heaven? He saw God. He actually saw Jesus. And Jesus said, "Why are you persecuting me, Paul?" And Paul became an extension of Stephen's ministry and took the gospel to all those towns that Peter's writing to now. I think it's kind of cool, if you want my opinion. You didn't ask me for mine, but perhaps God has called you to do something, to be a priest to people around you, to be a go-between between God and the people that you know. This barbecue, I think, is a great idea because you can be priests to the neighborhood people. And as you talk to them and invite them and minister to them, they may come to a personal relationship with Jesus. And you can be a priest, a royal priest. Peter's calling us to be babies that crave their mother's milk, to crave scripture, to be rocks, living stones, and to be royal priests. God is calling us to grow as Christians. How is he calling you to grow? Is he calling you to crave spiritual milk? Is he calling you to spend time studying his word? Is he calling you to be a change agent, like lava, and to bring about change? Is he calling you to be a bridge to help people grow in their faith? The psalmist says this in Psalm 31. "In you, O Lord, I seek refuge. Do not let me ever be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me. Rescue me speedily. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. You are indeed my rock, my fortress. For your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Take me out of the net that is hidden from me, for you are my refuge. Into your hands I commit my spirit, for you have redeemed me. O Lord, faithful God, my times are in your hands. Deliver me from the hands of my enemies and persecutors, and let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your steadfast love." God, I thank you so much for your grace and your mercy that's been with us this morning. I thank you for Peter and for his ministry to the dispersed people. I thank you for each person here. And I pray that you'd help each person to crave your spiritual milk, to be living stones, to be shelter and guide, and to be priests to the people around us, a royal priesthood. We pray this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.